Michael Collins, our ESPN Daily golf expert. We got two things to talk about before we get to anything having to do with clubs or balls. Number one, tell me about this life hack at the media center at Augusta with the sandwiches and the bacon.
I can't even take credit for this, bro. I got to give credit to my boy Jason Sobel because he knows I'm an egg salad dude. Like, I'm a fiend for the egg salad. I don't know what they put in the egg salad here, but like, by Wednesday, I'm 12 to 13 deep on egg salad sandwiches.
What? By Wednesday? Bro.
By Wednesday. In the media center at Augusta, we have our own restaurant. Literally a sit-down restaurant for breakfast and lunch. And he goes, take an egg salad in or two into the dining and tell them to make you some crispy bacon and put the bacon on the egg salad. And bro, I know. And I looked at him and I was like, bro, you just changed the game. Bro, you changed everything for me, man. Everybody working there remembers you from the year before. Like, they love the, I used to rock wild polos, or I would rock Augusta Green Jackets baseball jersey like early in the week. And so they would always be like, are you going to rock another good baseball jersey? It was awesome, blah, blah, blah. It was great. So this place is, there's nothing like it in the world. Nothing. Other media people who cover other events, they even talk about like, this is above and beyond the greatest spot to be a media member in the sports world. Period. There's no second place. This is it.
Minor league baseball, you're touching my heart with the Augusta Green Jackets. I love that. The second thing I got to ask you about.
Hold up. You know what their alter ego is?
What's that?
The pimento cheese sandwiches. I wore a pimento cheese jersey on Saturday. This is also the only, like, can you imagine, like, I'm going to the Masters. I'm normally in, like, you see now, I got a
sure
tie on, right? I saw Rory's caddy, Harry, and he was like, hey, man, you cool? What, you coming from court or something? They never seen me dressed like this.
I haven't seen you dressed like that before either. I wasn't going
to
say that.
That's what I'm saying. And I normally wear a baseball jersey, but, like, I'm not wearing a baseball jersey to the Masters unless it's the Augusta Green Jackets. It's the only time I've worn a baseball jersey on property here that one of the Green Jackets, aka a member, more than one, walked over and was like, that's a pretty good jersey right there.
By the way, if I'm the Augusta Green Jackets, I don't yell play ball before every game. I just have a drop of Nance saying, hello, friends. And then you throw out the first pitch.
Four.
There's nobody more in tune with the world of golf than Michael Collins, America's caddy. Bacon and egg salad sandwiches aside, he's got the ear of all the right people. So as this year's Masters gets ready to tee off down in Augusta, he brings us the latest on the PGA Live Cold War, tells us who to watch on the course, and explains why Tiger Woods isn't ready to walk away just yet. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Wednesday, April 10th. This is ESPN Daily. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Michael, before we get to the Masters, let's talk about what makes this first major so special. What are we going to see for the first time, potentially, calendar year 2024, sir?
Everything that every pro golfer has been talking about from both sides. And that is finally the opportunity for all of the best players in the world to get together and play against one another, right? Ever since the split between the PGA Tour and LIV, all we have heard from these guys is we still have to find a way to come together so that for the fans, the best can play against the best. It's a shame that it's only happening these four times now this year, but I think then it puts an even bigger focus in the golf universe and in the sports world just for this 1 week, because it's what everyone's going to be talking about. Finally, LIV and the PGA Tour, LIV versus the PGA Tour, those guys versus these guys, and neither entity or organization runs it, right? It's like,
right,
the Masters gets to be the neutral site.
Just to recap, because most people don't really know the depths of what's actually going on, LIV Golf is the upstart global league that has been stealing players away from the PGA Tour. It's owned by Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, better known as the PIF. Last year, LIV and the PGA announced they were going to end their dispute and merge, but that's all gotten very messy. What is your sense of where this dispute stands right now on the eve of the Masters?
See, but there's a problem with what you first said there, and that is the general public doesn't know the depth of what's going on. But what they do know is this. Hey, the dudes that I used to see a lot, I don't see them no more. And the dudes that I used to be like, I love that guy and I hate that guy. And I don't see that anymore. So you know what I'm not doing? Watching. Right? Like, that's the thing. Right. If you got to have good guys and bad guys. You got to be a team you root for and a team you root against. And it could be individuals. And there was that now. There just isn't that right now. And the problem with not having that is, and this is what the golfers are talking about, we need to keep that interest there. And we don't have that right now. So we're at a place right now where these two factions, like, they were supposed to be getting a deal done by December 31st, 2023. No chance that was ever going to happen. None whatsoever.
Framework deal, I believe, was the term at the time.
It was, and they still have a framework agreement. Well, framework agreement, what that meant at the time was, yo, let's have a ceasefire. What that meant at the time was, I'll stop suing you if you stop suing me, because you don't want to open your books up and I don't want to open my books. And they were both like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. But what happened? What happened when they came up with that framework agreement? Well, they did it behind closed doors and they didn't tell nobody. Why didn't they tell anybody they were doing it? Because if they would have told people, it would have never got done. Well, how do you know that's the fact? I know that's the fact because of what's going on right now. You know why there isn't a deal done right now? Because there's 137 cooks in the kitchen. Because on the PGA Tour side, it's simple. Now that golfers are involved, guess what? The number one through number 10 players in the world, well, they don't have the same goals in mind as the guy who's ranked 100th to 125th or 125th to 200th. They might not need the same things.
What does this mean in numbers terms that the average golf fan can relate to regarding what I'll say is the average golfer, not your one through five? How much money's being lost in one? What are they arguing over besides just generalized superiority of concept of tour?
Well, the argument right now is, how are these two leagues going to come to a place where they can play against one another on a consistent basis? So the tour used to be a non-profit organization. The tour has split into two organizations. There's still the nonprofit, but now there's a profitable entity. That's the entity that took the $1.5 billion infusion from SSG.
SSG is the Strategic Sports Group. It's a consortium of billionaire sports team owners, athletes, and celebrities. It's also led by the Fenway Sports Group, so take from that what you will.
And they said, there's $3 billion on the table. We're going to put $1.5 billion in now. And you go, well, I thought it was the Saudis, the PIF, that was wanting to put the money in. Yes, they do too. That's the framework agreement. That's what they're trying to, hey, how much can we put in? And well, you're like, well, why didn't that happen? Well, this is what happened when the government gets involved. Our government got involved and said, look, PGA Tour, if you're just going to take $3 billion from the Saudis alone and you're going to make a deal with them and get in bed with them, we're going to have a problem and we're going to quash that deal straight up. So that's why the tour said, okay, well, now we got to get a second group. Well, now the PIF and the Saudis were like, hold up. I thought we had something before. Like, we still want the same seat at the table and the same big chip. That's the problem and that where they're at with the negotiations right now. Where that PIF fund and the Saudis are like, listen, that's great that you took 1.5 from them. It ain't got nothing to do with the seat we want at the table and the chip that we want. And the tour is like, well, we might not have as big a chip. Like, you might not have as big a seat because we had to bring other people in here now. Well, why would the PIF be like, hey, man, remember that ceasefire / framework agreement? Yeah, the game's off. And now where's John Rahm? Number two player in the world, not on the PGA Tour anymore. He gone. He's over at Live Now too. But now he's fighting on that side. He's like, listen, we need to play 72 holes, okay? No more of this 54-hole stuff. And then somebody should have been like, John, you know L-I-V, that's Greek for 54. I don't know if you watch the Super Bowl or something. We've been doing this for a minute, bro. It's not really just live. That don't stand for nothing. It's L-I-V, 54. But whatever, that's okay. We can deal with that too if you want to. You know,
Michael, it's not Greek, it's Roman. And by the way, here's the bigger question though, Mike. Do you think this is actually affecting either's bottom line in terms of, is golf hurting?
Yes. Well, PIF, no, right? People are like, oh, they're losing money.
Listen, people don't understand. Like, we think billions is big numbers, right? And they laugh at that over there. Because that's one of the reasons why that they dropped all the court cases, because you don't want to open your books up and be like, wait, how many trillion? Trillions. Like, that's trillions? So you have to think one institution bought into F1, now has their own soccer league, then they were grabbing players from that too. The PGA Tour is not like that. And Jay Monahan came out last year and said at one point, listen, we just can't get into a money war with them. We will lose. And Rory came out and said, and he, you know, being on boards, he's seen numbers. The viewership is 20% down and it ain't rising. That's part of the problem that we started this conversation having. It was like, you know what fans do quick? Find something else. Like, if I'm not going to see the best playing against the best, and it feels like millionaires arguing against millionaires, when I'm making $9 an hour, $13 an hour, and have a tough time paying my rent, man, you ain't my getaway no more.
Well, let's touch on something closer to what real people can relate to, Michael. Justin Thomas, one of the millionaires you're talking about, just fired his caddy. You are uniquely qualified to answer this. So what's happening there? How big of a move is that? And what's going through a caddy's mind when something like that goes down?
Every caddy gets fired. You know, I've been fired many, many times. It's jarring when it happens, even though most of the time you kind of know it's coming. The thing that is different about this change is the timing of it. You're going to show up at Augusta with a new cat, someone who doesn't know your tendencies, somebody who doesn't know your vibe, right? Because it's you spend more time on the golf course with a golfer than you do with your spouse. But a lot of the player caddy relationship is getting to know one another, getting to know what can I say to you that motivates you and gets the best out of you when you don't have your best. That's what makes a great caddy. So it's very difficult, almost impossible, for there to be perfect symbiotic relationship like that for your first week at a major championship. I say that, and like Akshay Bhatia just won the first week him and his caddy were together. But guess what? That was the Valero Texas Open. It was not here at the Masters. You know why only one first timer has ever won here at the Masters? Fuzzy Zeller did it his first try. One, he had a Masters caddy. He had an Augusta National caddy. He was the blind man and he had the guide dog and was saying, hit it here, putt it here, putt it here, hit this club, hit that dude. That's basically what happened. And now you're going to show up at a place that it's a second shot golf course. And you're going to show up here as a world top golfer with a guy who's never been on your bag before, potentially. So in crunch time, when you and that guy are having this conversation about what to do, how much trust are you going to have in what he tells you?
I'm going to use my skills of deduction here. A second shot golf course, meaning your driver and your putter probably aren't going to win you this tournament.
No, putter definitely. It's the putter definitely. But this is a golf course because there's not real rough. You can miss big at this golf course off the tee. So when you hit that first tee shot with your driver, you can miss. The question is now with your second shot coming into the green, that's you got to hit specific areas. And then when you hit those areas or miss those areas on the green, your putter better be rolling. Like for Scottie Scheffler, it's a big question this week with Scottie Scheffler. Is he going to come into this week with that new putter? The last time we saw him at a tournament, that new putter failed him on the last hole. And it cost him getting into a playoff. Or you're going to bring back that putter that got you the green jacket. You know what I mean? Because you know that thing was sitting there be like, hey, man, we should get back together. You want to spend a little more time together because we had some good times over there. Just me, you and a pimento cheese sandwich, my friend.
Coming up, we'll talk more actual golf. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Let's talk about the star of the show, Michael, Augusta National Golf Course. Tell us what defending champion John Rahm actually learned about it.
It's a little bit longer. There's a change that happened. Now, sometimes the changes here at Augusta are big. And sometimes they're little, but they can make a big difference. So a couple of years ago, they made a big change on the par 5 13th. They really stretched that thing out. How they did it was amazing. But this year, it's a small change to the other par 5, this one on the front nine, number 2. They lengthened it 10 yards, and 10 yards isn't a lot for a downhill par 5 that everybody can get home in two if you hit a good tee shot and get the fairway. But what they did do was, not only did they move it back 10 yards, they moved the tee to the left a little bit. Now, why that's significant is it makes the dogleg even more pronounced. So now it's going to be harder to hold the fairway. Now you're really going to have to think, because if you overcook it from right to left, because it's a right to left dogleg, you can get into the trees on the left and there's a little stream. It's just a babbling brook. It's a tiny feather of a, but some golf balls always end up there every single year, every year. So it has really changed how that hole will play. And like 13, when they really lengthened that out, instead of having 215 yards into a par 5, which is a very short second shot for a big par 5 normally, last year, instead of 215, they had 240 in on average. That's a big change. It's a big change. And how close they hit it to the hole was also much further away compared to, I mean, they were inside 47 feet 2 years ago. And then last year they were outside 56 feet. The chances for Eagles are slimmer, slimmer. So two is still, I mean, two played as played as the easiest hole at Augusta since 2020. And it's still going to play as one of the easier holes. And it probably will still be the easiest hole, but it definitely will. You'll see a lot less Eagles there. And it also means there'll be cooler shots off the tee because guys are going to have to sling it even more, which is fun.
That being said, what do you think Rahm's chances are of going back to back? And who are some other guys? Let's leave the big man off the discussion board at this point because we'll get to that. But of the other contenders, Vegas favorites, besides Rahm, who are you looking at to make a real push in 2024 at Augusta?
Okay, so after what happened to Brooks Koepka last year, how can you not be looking at him thinking, you think this dude's not coming with a chip on his shoulder? I mean, you got to look at him as one of the guys.
I mean, do I think Rahm could go back to back?
It's almost impossible to do here because you have so many other duties that you're doing as well. You're not necessarily coming in focused, as focused as you could be or as focused the year that you want. I don't know if he's the one. Now, the one guy who I can't wait to see this week is Jordan Spieth. Jordan is that guy who Phil Mickelson used to do that. Phil Mickelson could be playing horrific golf. He could have missed 137 cuts in a row, and yet he shows up here and magic. It's magic. Like, and this is one of those places where some guys just have that feel and that vibe around it. And I think Jordan is one of those guys that could catch a magic week here. Most of the time, everybody's like, man, everybody's on top of their game. And then when that happens, they get here and it's like, man, guess what? They all sucked. This win, they peaked too early. And I don't think anyone's peaked too early coming in here. So that is going to be, I think it's setting up to be one of those weeks, which will be awesome for all of us.
So let me name a couple people in order of whom I think could make the most noise. And I want to see what you think. Rory, Cam Smith, Colin Morikawa.
Cam Smith, nope, not feeling him. Colin Morikawa, not feeling him either. Rory's the interesting one. Rory has been and is the king of the backdoor top five here because of the baggage that he has been carrying around for so long because of the disaster that happened to him when he had the big lead going into the back nine years and years and years.
And now Rory, look out.
I suspect that hasn't turned.
Is that out of bounds over there?
What?
He asked if it's out of bounds over there.
No, there's a long way to it, OB. No, I don't think so. Not to the boundary fence.
Where did that come from?
My goodness. He must have hit a tree and come literally back at 45 degrees. That is not much more than 150 yards off the tee.
And it's squeezed in between two cabins that line the 10th.
Well, Rory's not showing up until Tuesday late afternoon. He's only going to play one practice look at this course, and then he's going to go. This dude has shed everything, right? His daughter said something to him, and I think hit at his soul. He was already a guy who was trying to just like, you know what? I just want to have fun on the course. I want to play a lot of golf and I want to have some fun. And he was going out to see Butch Harmon. And he told his daughter, like, Dad, where you go?
Butch Harmon, legendary swing coach.
Oh, he is the legendary swing coach. He was the one that originally made Tiger, Tiger. So Rory looks at his daughter and he says, Daddy's got to go get a golf lesson. I go talk to a friend about some golf. I got to get a lesson. And she goes, but Dada, you already know how to play golf. And he even was like, you know what? I kind of do. Yeah. And I think from what Rory's daughter said to him and what I'm sure Butch said to him, I think Rory's coming into this week finally letting go of all that baggage.
Well, Rory needs to fly very quickly to Northern Ireland, and I'm sure his whole country will give him a big hug.
I don't know, Nick, you've seen some of the great ones have to go through a roughing up like this.
Yeah.
And they have responded. They have come back to be great champions. How will Rory respond?
I really wouldn't know, Jim.
that's going to be a very dangerous man. If he shoots 70 or better in round one, heads up.
Let's get to the elephant in the room, or shall we say the tiger in the room, Eldrick Woods. I saw him on Saturday walking the course. He's had a nice little offseason helping various college golfers do things. He's been out there. Charlie's out here winning state championships. We've seen Tiger.
Yeah.
But we have not seen him golfing in a bit.
See?
Yeah. What are the chances here, Mike? What are we talking about?
Stop
old guys like me get excited every time Tiger takes your tee box.
Would you stop it? Stop it. I seen Jordan put on gym shorts the next day. And he put his sneakers back on. Yo, you know what that means? No. I know. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay.
This is a problem, but now we are the old guys now. That's, we gotta admit it, that we're the old guys that'll be like,
man, let me tell you, you guys don't appreciate nothing. You know how good a youth
voice
is
that? Yeah. Whose voice is that?
Let me tell you, hold my sandwich. Go get me some bacon.
This is one of the hardest walks in golf.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger is having problems with that ankle, and the back hasn't been great either. Remember the last time we saw him and he was sick, quote unquote, sick on the golf course, like all that too. Yeah, he was sick, but he also wasn't moving very well. That had nothing to do with sick. Okay? Guess what? He was qualified to play the Players' Championship. That's the flattest golf course that there is other than Sony. There's no hills there. And he wasn't good enough or well enough to go play that event. That doesn't have a pro-am. He wouldn't have had to play a pro-am at all. He could have showed up there on Wednesday, played a couple of practice holes, walked around the same thing, and been fine. And now you're telling me that this dude is going out there, he's going to walk these hills, even though he just did it with a putter and a wedge the other day, like now he's going to go play 9 holes here, 9 holes there, and then be ready to go against Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, John Rahm. He going to be ready to go against them? Bro, look, I was born in the day, but I wasn't born yesterday, okay? If he finishes 72 holes, it will be a small miracle.
Why is he there then? Honest question.
Honest answer? If he makes the cut and has the WD, he still sets the record. Most consecutive cuts ever made. See, don't make that face. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I hate to be that dude, right? Because you know me.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, you think for real I'm not going to, when I see Tiger face to face, I'm going to be like, bro, come on, what are we doing, man? And I said it before, too. When he first got hurt, I was, listen, the longer you stay away, the longer we get to see you in the long run. That's a hard thing to say. I say this to all my friends that are athletes in every sport, golf especially, but every sport. Name me one time an athlete, say, came back from injury too late. Just one time. Tell me one time an athlete said, I came back too late, especially a golfer, because they're the worst. They all come back too early. And what happens? What happens when they come back too early?
Last thing I'll ask you, Mike, is if a live golfer does take home the green jacket,
yep,
what kind of chaos are we looking at structurally
Nothing.
And culturally?
Nothing. That's such a hard thing for me to wrap my head around to have to say, but that's the truth. The truth is, in where we are right now in the space of golf, if a live golfer wins the Masters, the uproar is going to be, see, this is why I'm saying we got to get this all together right now. Let's do it. You know, 4 times a year is not enough. And everyone will agree, the players, the fans, and everyone important in golf. But you know who's not going to jump? Is the people that are making the business decisions. It's going to, in the long run, hurt the game. Because it'll be a fast uproar. And as the world we live in today, everyone's going to go, y'all not going to do it? All right, cool. What's next?
I'll tell you what else it's not going to do. It's not going to turn Roman into Greek. Thank you, Michael.
What? One time. Just I failed geography one time. You just won't let that go right there. I bet Greeks have numbers too. They probably use Roman numbers. Damn. Man, this was fun except messing that up. Thanks, bro.
Appreciate you. I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow, kiddos.